All right, before I get into what I was teaching tonight, or maybe I'll never get there, who knows. There's a prophet that I follow that's not very well known, but I get his email, and on his email list, a guy named Nate Johnson. Has anybody ever heard of him before? All right, hopefully you like him. I like him. Yeah, okay, there you go. Maybe he's more well known than I thought. Or we're just on the same wavelength of the Holy Spirit. His site is nateandchristy.co. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, maybe further back, he sent out an email. Of course, you can get his blog, but I don't remember if I got on the email or blog. And it was a long one, a long email, long blog, long word he was given from the Lord. But I want to read about a third of it because I think it applies to where we're at now. That's one reason I like reading him, is because I think we're going in the same direction and we're doing the same things. Of course, in different contexts, but he's from, I think, Southern California, I believe, if I remember correctly. Doesn't matter. And I see my main job here is to, I've got lots of jobs, but the main job is to say, okay, Jesus, and I do this all the time, Jesus, you're the head of this church. Are we going in the direction that you want us to go? Are we where you want us to be? What do you want us to change? He a long time ago told me to stop looking at what the people need. Not that we don't want to meet needs, but there's a bigger point there. Don't get your feedback and direction from what people need. Your success is not in numbers. Your success is in are people loving Jesus more than they did before? And that really has taken me some time to get my mind around of how to lead. But that's what I do constantly. Jesus, are we going in the right direction? Is this what you want us to do? Are we doing what you want us to do as the head? Because he's the head and I'm not the head. And I may be a leader in it, but I'm not a head. And so, anyway, he sent this out. Is the title of the blog is, we are in a roots movement moment. And when I read it, I'm not going to read the whole thing, maybe a third of it, but I'm going to read quite a bit of it because I think it's going to encourage you. And hope it encourages you where we're going, where we are. It's not where we're going, just where we're going. He said, I heard the Lord say, this is a roots movement. This is a moment, so I believe this applies to us. I mean, that we're trying to get there. This is a moment where I have humbled my church not to punish her, but to heal her, to purify her, to prune her for the coming harvest. My church has grown accustomed to the bloom, the fruit, the outward beauty, and what man sees, celebrates, and calls success. But right now, my glory is resting on what looks ordinary, what looks unpopular, even what appears ugly or overlooked. Man says it's about charisma. He's not talking about charismatic gifts, but a personality. About the lights and smoke machines. About loud worship and grandeur. But my glory in this hour is resting on the grassroots, the simple, the foolish. On that which looks like a seed, small, buried, and unseen, yet saturated by my glory. I've looked into the hearts of my people. I've seen a deep longing for what is real, for what is authentic, for what draws them back to me. Not a performance, but an encounter. Not hype, but holy. For too long, my name was exalted in systems that celebrated man's wisdom, man's comforts, man's movements. But now their brokenness is leading them back on unfamiliar paths toward what looks small, humble, and unthreatening. And yet, it is pregnant with promise. That place you've overlooked is where I've hidden the seeds of my next great outpouring. A place people will say, surely revival can't come from there. But that is exactly where my spirit is about to be poured out. I've chosen a people who have chosen the low road, those who refuse to chase platforms or prestige. If you choose the low road, my spirit will get the glory. If you humble yourself in this season, if you choose the way few choose, you will experience personal revival. You will see the fulfillment of the promises I made over nations, but it starts with the roots. I've been stripping away the opulence because it came and my glory lifted. The spectacle increased, but my signs and wonders diminished. Man became too familiar with my anointing, relying on giftings instead of my spirit. He who has ears, let him hear. I'll send out a link to the whole road, to the whole thing in an email this week if you want to read. He changes subjects a little bit, but it keeps going on. I'll send out a link to that blog in the text message if you're on that this week. So I think a lot of that is what the Lord's been showing us. And I think that's just it's always good to get some confirmation from somebody beyond yourself so you don't become self-introspective, so you don't become myopic, so that you don't miss it. We need each other in this room, but we also need each other leaders outside this room to hear God through and to confirm. Amen. All right, probably 3 weeks ago, I was talking on how to occupy and overcome. And I spent 2 weeks on spirit-led prayer. The last week we had Ramon Coelho. So I want to come back to this Occupy. I'm going to review a little bit because this is what I know. This is the year the Lord wants to breathe on you to do that thing that has been hard. The Lord wants to breathe on you to do that thing you've never done before. The Lord is interested in Matthew 6:10. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He is wanting to take territory, to occupy, to overcome through you. That thing that has been for years after years, maybe it's a dream and you just never went after it. This year, I'm just telling you, unless you get a word no, it's time to start moving on it. I'm not saying it's going to be full fulfillment, but it's time to start going after it. And when you're starting to set out, and it could be as simple as or big as a business, or it could be as simple as a renewed relationship, or changing my finances. He is wanting us to take territory. And we're made up of three parts. So it's not just spiritual things. He wants our soul ordered. Many of us, the Lord is saying it's time for you to get finances in order, or get marriage in order, or pray for prodigal sons or daughters. Because He wants our soul and spirit, our soul and our emotions ordered. And He wants our bodies ordered. Maybe He's been teaching us or showing us for a long time there's things we need to get aligned in our bodies correctly to steward the three parts of us. And this is the year to do something that He's not done, that we've not done before, or we've not gotten the victory over. His wind is blowing. I'm not just giving you hope. I hope I'm giving you hope. I'm not just giving you hype. It's not just a message. This is the year, I'm telling you, He is energizing and giving more anointing to go and do and accomplish things that we have never done before. That dream, start dreaming. It's interesting in this congregation, all of the big things that are happening among a lot of people. We could go around the room, big changes, we're not going to call out names, but just, many of these things, big things. This is the year that the Lord is breathing on us. It all goes back to Genesis 1:27 and 28. I call it the original commandment. They hadn't sinned yet. They were still in the garden. They were in a perfect setting with a perfect father, perfect everything. But He said, don't stay in the perfect. We're not even in the perfect, and He's telling us. Don't stay where you're at. Because He wants His kingdom, which is the King's principles in our domain, expanded around us. And so many of us, I'll go ahead and go down this, then we'll read Genesis 1:27. So many of us are waiting for the rapture, or waiting till we die, or hanging on. That is not pleasing to God. He's coming back, but that's not pleasing to God. He has left us here because He loves this planet. He wants to reclaim this planet. He wants what happened in the garden, which got aborted because of sin, but He gave us the authority back at the cross. He's coming back to reclaim this whole planet. We may go to heaven if we die before the second coming. If you are here when He comes back at the second coming, you're not going to heaven. You're going to be coming back here and helping him rule and reign here on earth. He is a man and he is going to restore all. This is his place when he sits down at Mount Zion. I could feel that, man. You're taking some people back thinking through it. But that shows how important this earth is. When we die and go to heaven, it's plan B because we were never to die. It's a holding place. When I was in, I believe it was middle school. I guess it had to have been middle school. And I remember exactly where I was at. It was at First Baptist Church in Atlanta. So maybe it was a little earlier than middle school. I'd have to do the math on it. Doesn't matter. And they were having big seminars, which was popular at that time because a book had come out called Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, which kicked off way before Jenkins' book on Left Behind series. That book ruined a generation. People dropped out of school saying Jesus Christ is coming back anytime soon. They sold things. And here we are 50 years later and he hasn't come back. He's coming back. It's a fact. But he wants to come back to a people that's learned to occupy, learned to take land like he did the 33 years that he was here. We're not going to finish this thing, but we're going to help bring some of it in, and then he's going to finish it at the end. That book ruined a generation, I'm telling you. People dropped out, didn't get degrees, didn't get skills, didn't get trades, and they ended up being poor half of their life waiting for Jesus to come back, and he still hasn't come back. He may come back tomorrow, but odds are this. It's probably going to be next century. Because he's teaching us when he comes back at the second coming, he's coming back and it says we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. So how do you think we rule and reign? By training now. There's simulators in heaven, but there's nothing to overcome in heaven. Okay? You could train on a simulator if they have them. He's training you now. That's those parables that says they give you one talent, three talents, five talents, and those that did good got one city, three cities, or five cities. They did not get literal cities. Those were servants. They didn't go out all of a sudden, you're governor over this territory. What that's talking about is in the future because you steward well on earth. That was an individual snapshot. But he's talking about your whole life. We're given one talent. Some people give three talents. Some people give five talents. It's like we'll pick on Max over here. Max can play. He can sing. He can do all this stuff that I can't do. So he's probably got three talents. I got one talent. I can talk a lot. But it's a stewardship principle. And if we steward here on earth what he's given us, learn to bring his principles into our family, into our own life, into our business, and whatever else. In the future, you're going to be governors under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That'll expand your brain. Or mayors. Depends on what you got. Some of you in here, I'm going to be coming to you in the future going, I'm the mayor over Dalton. And you're the governor of Georgia. I need some money. It's going to happen. We're going to see each other. Who knows when it is in the future. He's not about to come now because he's teaching us how to rule and reign. I don't know when he's coming. There's a popular thing going around now about the seventh day. Have you heard that? Man's on earth for 6,000 days. On the seventh day, he rests, talking about the days of creation. He had 6 days of creation, and we're approaching 6,000 years. I'm not trying to be depressing. I want to give you hope. He wants to energize us now to make a difference now. And then when we exit this earth, we go, we have been found faithful. We have stewarded the best we know how. This is how we've taken the King's principles. But there's this 6 day after 6 day, you rest. It's probably a true principle. I was talking with Deborah about it this week. It's probably a true principle. 6,000 years, 7,000, he comes back and rests. The problem is, you can take genealogies. If you take genealogies from the Bible, Not the Gregorian calendar, that's what we're under now, but the Hebrew calendar is pretty close to it. The year to this year is 5785. Or 5785. Now I'm really confused, so don't hold me to it. And even rabbis and Jewish theologians says that's not exactly accurate because there's a few years when we were in bondage that we lost count, okay, one way or the other. This is the point. Even by the Jewish calendar, by the Gregorian calendar, it is over 6,000 years. It's 6,025. So Jesus is 25 years late, if you believe in that theory. But he's not late. By the Jewish calendar, he's still got 200 years till 6,000. This is my point. We don't know. We're going to live like he's coming back tomorrow, and we're going to live like he's not coming back for 200 years. That's schizoid, right? That means be ready at every moment, but take advantage to expand his kingdom at every moment. That way we've got all the bases covered. Because Genesis 1:27, still the original command. Are you all right? I feel like I upset something in here, which might have been good. Might not have been good. I'm not sure. So what do you say?
Proceed.
So God created people in his own image, Genesis 1:27. All of you are created in his image. That's why I have confidence that whatever the Lord's put in your heart, whatever the Lord's put in your purpose, whatever the Lord's put on your plate that you did not even want. Do you realize, you probably don't, unless you've been here a little while, every major decision on the direction of this church for the last 30 years that has changed it radically, I did not want to do. But the Holy Spirit, it's like, am I the head or are you the head? You decide. If you take it over, I'll bless what I can, but I'll only inhabit what I do. I'm talking everything. I remember 15 years ago, probably longer than that, when we started moving into prophetic praise worship. Now we just do prophetic worship. I don't want to get into all the definition of that, but high energy, high fast, high music, prophetic praise worship. Mike was here. He remembers that. He was a part of it. We started moving into it, and I really felt a pull towards it. This is just one of many things. And I really felt we were supposed to go that way. Now it's pretty popular, but it wasn't 20 years ago. Probably closer to 20. And I was like, Lord, if we do that, we'll lose 25% of our people coming. You know what he said? He goes, whose people are they? Have you ever had God speak to you that way? He didn't have to say anything more. I said, all right, we'll do it. And guess what? Being the wise man that I was and the observant dude I was, we lost 25% of our people. So there was wisdom there. I don't know if it's wisdom. There was observation there. But he didn't care. He wants to build what he wants to build. We follow him. He doesn't follow us. And so there may be some things he's put on your plate that you're going, I'm not sure I want to do this. Is it about you or is it about him? Does he get to decide your life or do you get to decide? Is he Lord or are you Lord? That question comes up a lot. Or that decision comes up a lot. And for those, and so this is all I can say to you. Can't give you any great wise things because you already heard my track record. Is just say yes. Just say yes. It may turn out the way you think. But we don't live our lives by sight. We live our lives by the voice of the Lord, by the faithfulness. Because see, he is a master chess player. Some of us are pawns. I'm a pawn. Max over here with the three gifts. He's probably a bishop. Some of you are higher up. Some of you are knights. Thanks for letting me pick on you. But it's true. And we're all these different places on a chessboard. He's not just playing chess, a game that we can't quite see how he's going to make happen. Have you ever been, any of you that are Star Trek fans, they played 3D chess. Three chess boards on like a little stand. I can't even play chess. My mind ain't that good. I can't imagine playing across three dimensions. X, Y, and Z. He is a multiple dimension chess player. What we got to do is just move our piece when he says move the piece. And trust that he's going to make this thing happen. So, each of you, God just came off of 6 days of creation. So God created people in his own image. This is what many things I want to get across. One thing I get across. Just as he created, you have creation inside of you for the areas you're to create. I can't create animals, but he gave me creation, a piece of his creation, to create the things he's called me to do. New things, things people's never even seen before, because you are created in his image. That's cool. We're not just hanging on. I know I hit that little eschatology strong, but we're not just hanging on. We're not just trying to make it, because it's a waste of his image that's inside of you. God patterned them after himself. So turn to somebody around you and go, I look like God. Now, I don't know all the ways, but I didn't say it. He said it. It says, Tiffany, I created her to look like me. Cool. God blessed them and told them, and here comes the multiply part. Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And so that has never changed. That little pattern, we thank Eden because of looking at, there was four rivers flowing out of Eden. We think it's in modern day Iraq, just a little to the east of it. There's two rivers there now because it named them Tigris, Euphrates, and the two other rivers. And if you look at satellite images, they used to not be able to do this, but you look at satellite images now, you can see two dry riverbeds. So that's where Mesopotamia, wherever, that's where Eden was. And it wasn't the desert that it is now. And he wanted that pattern. He said, here's the pattern. This is what I want it to look like. See the fruits, see the trees. Goes up here at the end, says, be masters over the fish and birds and all the animals. So he had lakes, mountains, fruits, trees, vegetables, all set up perfectly. It wasn't a simulation, it was the real thing. He said, see this? See how I relate to you? Take it. The creation is inside of you just like it is me. Take this pattern and duplicate it, because if you think of a map of Iraq, however big that is, much smaller than Iraq, we don't quite know, but it was between these four rivers, so it couldn't have been too big. You can go out there and look at it on Google Earth sometime. He said, take this over the entire 25,000-mile radius of the earth. Now that's a vision, and duplicate it. Of course, they didn't take it anywhere. They took it down. But Jesus came along, and making a long story short, says, I have taken the authority back that you gave up by my dying on the cross, and I give it back to you. So instead of giving us a template, he gives us a template in our heart. He speaks to each of us. And instead of one place expanding out over all across the earth, let's say there's 500 million Christians. Population people say there's about 2 billion. I don't know if there's actually that many people. Might be that many people say they're Christians. But let's just say 500 million, whatever the number is. I don't know. Only God knows. They're scattered all over the earth as little pins or placeholders of light. So instead of Eden spreading out, he's starting it to spread out from wherever we're at. And you go, well, my piece is so small. It may be small, but it still needs to be taken. The darkness still needs to be reversed in our families, if that's the issue. We need godly pastors that are over businesses. They're business-minded, they're making lots of money, they're getting good stuff. Or doctors, they're doing what they're supposed to do to help. But, you know, it can be much bigger than that. You can, if you're working for somebody, bring encouragement to your employees. It doesn't have to be words of knowledge, but just simple things that start spreading light and joy, and you may be able to say more into those areas or teaching with those students. I don't guess you can give the gospel in the school system, but you can show the light and the joy that's there, and it may cause conversations later. And so 500 million or a billion or whatever it is, or 100 million, these pinpoints of creativity to say, I'm going to own and subdue, not a dictatorship, but with the kingdom principles of love and joy and peace that the Father did on earth, or Jesus did on the earth, around me. And then they're going to start connecting. And the world is going to start changing because of what's inside of you. And it all starts with a yes. And yes, your piece may be small, but I don't think it is in the kingdom's thing. Every piece on that chessboard is necessary. Wow, time goes by fast when you're having fun teaching. Maybe you're having as much fun listening, I don't know. We talked about a formula. Let me review it again, just because that's the way my brain works. Plan plus prophetic equals a purpose. And go to the Lord. James 1:5 says, he who ever asks of me for wisdom, I'll give him above and beyond all that he asks. How does that apply? Whatever problems you're facing. So we got two things. We've got problems that need to be corrected, and then we've got ground that he wants to take. Expand, you know, new things we've not even done. That can just be hard. So problems and new ground. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a plan. And we talked a lot about this maybe a month ago. Ask him for the next steps. He won't give you the whole plan because he likes walking with you. And if he gives you the whole plan, we go off and do it and we tend to forget about him. If there's three steps, he usually gives you the first step because he likes doing it with you. And that brings up the second part, the prophetic. I'm not talking about a word of prophecy. I'm talking about the prophetic in the sense of hearing the voice of the Lord. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I'm telling you, every one of you in here, I know all of you. You're led by the Spirit. You can hear the Spirit. You can trust in the Spirit. You can have confidence in the Spirit. You go, well, I'm not quite sure. Just do it. Well, what if the devil leads me astray? If you're praying and you're seeking God with all your heart, God's going to be faithful to you. He is stronger than the devil speaking to you. And if he is and you start going down that route, the devil's or God's going to stop you. God's going to say something. But if your heart's after him, you don't have to worry. Let me just go a few more minutes. I didn't tell you how many, so I wouldn't be a liar. God wants to make every person in here. You are, but it has to be awakened. And I pray that it's awakened in, with the Holy Spirit right now. That creativity that I was talking about is in God. As he was a visionary to create the whole earth and all that's in it over those 6 days. And yes, I believe in an actual creation and not evolution. Let me just take a sidestep. If you believe in evolution, there are Christians that do, you have lots of other problems in other areas. Lots of other problems. You might solve one problem. The thing is, we're not stupid, we're not idiots, but the Word of God is the final truth, and eventually science will catch up. Okay? Like one problem is this. I know I'm going down a bunny trail, we'll shoot it in a minute. But I think it's important. If you believe in evolution, and then eventually man came along, you believe, by de facto, you have to say death came about before sin. The Bible says all death came about because of sin. So if you had millions of years of evolution, you had million years of death. So right there, it sets you up for lots of problems. That means death doesn't come about by sin. And when Jesus said, I died to reverse death, what was he talking about? A death of an amoeba cell somewhere? I'm being a little sarcastic. But that's just one of many things that starts getting set up. Do not go there. We may not understand how to answer all the arguments. We may not understand how to go there. But in the end, We have to follow the Word of God, and science over time almost always catches up to the Bible. Right now, the Big Bang Theory for the last 20, 30 years, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's fine. I'll shoot this rabbit again in a minute, too. No, we're nice to rabbits. I'll shoo them off. The Big Bang of how the earth started has been the big theory. Well, that goes against creation. Okay? I know you got your minds going. We're not going to do an apologetics teaching here. Do you realize now that there's big portions of science going because of the new Webb telescope that's up in space that was launched, a couple years ago? They're starting to go, maybe the Big Bang is not the way it started. Enough said. So, you've got this inside of you, the creativity. I'm telling you, the vision that God had to create the earth, He's going to give you that same vision for what He wants you to accomplish on earth. And you go, well, I'm not a minister. I'm telling you, He cares more about things outside of the church than He does here. I don't say more, but it's bigger. Do you realize there were 12 tribes? One out of 12 tribes was in ministry. The 11 wasn't. But those 11 still had to follow the cloud by day and the pillar by night. I got it reversed. The cloud by night and the pillar by day. They all had to hear His voice. And they were all accomplished things to create a great nation. So what's 1 divided by 12? I don't know. I'm doing this in my head. 7-8%? So that means 90% plus of the visionary and the creativity stuff is outside of this church. And He's got plans for all of it. Elon Musk has been in the news a lot. Probably the greatest businessman since Edison. He is not a Christian. He doesn't live like a Christian. But the things that's inside of him, I believe, is inside of Christians. And maybe, I don't know, I don't want to put condemnation, but maybe he's doing those things because Christians said, I'm waiting for the rapture. He said, well, I'll find some man because I want to improve the earth. And those things are still, you look at your greatest scientists from the 15, 16, and 1700s. They were all Christians that the Lord guided them in this direction. I think that's one reason science is stalling now, because we've become very materialistic and naturalistic. And science is not advancing at the same rate. We are in some software, but I'm talking raw science is just not advancing as fast as it used to. Because we're not, us as Christians, He wants us to tap in to the God that created the earth. It's cool. So He wants us to move forward with these visions, and it may just seem simple. Well, I'm just praying for my prodigal kids. You pray for them. That could be very, very significant. Those guys could literally be the next George Whitefield or John Wesley. And we're just seeing them as our kids, which is important. But who knows, 15 years later, after you've gotten them saved and believed them in, they could be the next Elon Musk. They could be the next Donald Trump, whether you like them or not. President, let's just say that. You don't know where they're going to be. And they need that godly thing inside of them. So nothing is insignificant. And this leads, and I'll close with this because it's been long enough. But so what we're doing is not just for ourselves, which is important. He loves us. He wants to bless us. What He's doing is for things after you're dead. I'm trying to be as blunt as I can to break religious spirits. He is a generational God. He is the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His 3D chest is way beyond your lifetime. But you're a key to that next piece being played. He needs your piece. And you'll see it played out in heaven. Many years ago, the Lord gave me a vision, almost 20 years ago, an open-eyed vision, probably 25 years. I guess I'm getting old. It was a long time ago. Probably closer to 30. He gave me an open-eyed vision of planting 7 churches in this region. He gave me the cities. I went and visited the cities. I spent the night there. I prayed over them. And it was very clear. And you, obviously, we're not there. Along the way, we raised up one, Calhoun. Several people here were a part of that. We had a pastor there. I raised up two other pastors to do two other churches. And they, the one in Calhoun left, the other two left. And many of your visions and many of the things you have is bigger than just you. That's the point. And so the Lord, some of the visions are so big, some of the businesses are so big, some of the ideas are so big, some of the family things that need to be changed, that husband and wife and maybe even the kids following God need to bring come into it. It takes, it's just, that's the way He works. It takes everybody. And so what happens is if those people don't do their assignments, like in the case I was just talking about, I did my part. The Lord is faithful. And so we don't have seven churches. He said, that's fine. That's, you did your part. But now the Lord, through me, allowed the round table to start. That's 10 ministries in it. In many ways, it's the same influence, but it's a totally different dynamic. So He's faithful to you. So you've got to realize that some of your visions require others, and also some of your visions go beyond you, is what I started. Because before the Lord started doing the round table, I just said, Lord, and there was many other things besides seven churches, and it's still there. I've said, Lord, this, at the rate we're going, this isn't going to happen before I die. That's how I talk to Him. Not disrespectful, but without the religious talk. And I'm telling you, out of nowhere, He says, why do you think they're all going to happen in your lifetime? David was called to bring in worship, King David, into the earth. But he did not build the final temple where the final resting place of God was. He showed the pattern. He got the blueprints. He even got all the building materials for Solomon. Solomon just had to put it together. That was a big deal. But all the building materials were there. The blueprints were there. The pattern was there because he did it in an open tent out in the field. I don't have time to go into all that. But David's vision was not all fulfilled by the time he died, because he often gives vision to you. But, and then over time, He'll show you, okay, this is your piece to set it up for the next generation. Or somebody that's in another church or in another business. And we have to watch for the Lord move. That's a good word there. You hear me? We as Americans especially, some of the Asian cultures are different. They think generationally. That's why they honor their elders instead of trying to kill them like they're doing in Canada and Britain. They're doing that. Do you know that? Through assisted suicides. Now, they have to agree, but they're setting... I mean, there's happened hundreds of times in Britain and Canada because they've forgotten the generational piece. Boy, I'm kicking something tonight, aren't I? There's a, hopefully, it's righteousness. If it's not, forgive me, Lord, then y'all. But the Asian cultures tend to think more generationally, and they build generationally. That's a God characteristic. America, because of our capitalistic system, we think quarterly. Because if you're a public company, you have to report your earnings quarterly. Now, private companies don't often do that. They tend to prepare for multi-generations. But the Lord is a multi-generational God. And the plan that's inside of you, He needs you to start it. If you don't, it's delayed. Well, I thought He was sovereign. He is sovereign. But in His sovereignty, He's chosen to work through you on some things. We watched the last episode of The House of David last night on Amazon Prime. Have anybody of y'all seen that? What did you say? Okay, well, you know David wins, right? Did you know that? Okay. So we'll leave it at that. No spoilers. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry. What did you say? A lot. Yeah, it was pretty good. They added a lot of background that was optional, but it didn't violate it. I think it kept a good spirit. And so I would recommend it. I enjoyed it. Anyway, so who knows how big this giant is? You know, he's Nephilim. He was offspring of, you know, angels and human women. Historically, he's probably 10 to 11 feet tall. But who knows? And so he's big. David, they picked a David in here. I hope this isn't a spoiler. That's small. He's smaller than the average Israelite. I don't know. Who knows how tall he actually was? In the natural, there's no way he was going to win. In the natural, you're probably not going to win. The difference was he believed God and stepped out and threw this rock against a heavily armored dude. You know that from the Bible. We're not spoiler there. It hits him in the head. And when you see all the armor, you go, that had to have been God. And so in his sovereignty, he wants you to do your part, but in the end, he does the coolest part and pulls it all together. That's how he wants to work together with you. So let's stand. So I'm going to pray over you to throw your rock and pray that God gets it to where it needs to be, and he will. And I'm just telling you, that's the faith of Hebrews 11. If you haven't read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, go back and read it. It's not this in the original text, but often in books they put up at the top, Hall of Faith. Do you realize all of those guys were honored for having faith? That means believing what God... Faith is just this. Don't make it bigger than what it is. What God said He was going to do, I'm going to say yes, and He's going to do it. What God said He was going to do, I'm going to say yes, agree with Him doing it, and then He's going to do it. And you just keep moving, even if it's the craziest idea you've ever seen. I mean, think about this. Noah's building a boat in the mountains. Some people say they had never even had rain on the earth by then. I don't know if that's true or not. There's some verses that seem to imply that. I wouldn't be dogmatic about it. So let's say they had no rain. He's in the mountains, and I'm building a boat. And it's not a boat for like 6 weeks. He has to endure people's, you're crazy. You're a cult. You're a heretic. You believe in the gifts. You think God actually said that? Where is your God? That's what Goliath kept repeating. I'm not spoiling it. It's in the Bible. What Goliath kept repeating to David, I defy the God of Israel. He didn't have to put up with that for 6 weeks, but for 120 years. Most of us in here won't even live 120 years. That's faith. And you go back and read all that. And a large part, not all of them, but a large part of those guys in the Hall of Faith never saw it come true. But they still said, God said it. I'm going to do my piece. I'm going to say yes. And it's going to happen because they realized very quickly God's a generational God. It's going to happen. And we're like a chain. And you've heard this analogy a zillion times, but it's a good one. A link in the chain. And the chain, I'm telling you, is going to end. One day, Jesus Christ is going to come back on Mount Zion. All the eschatology issues are going to be solved. And He's going to say, I'm going to now start ruling the earth as a man and a God. And even then, it talks about the bloodshed and the carnage of people who will not bow their knee to Him. When He's there in all of His transcendent glory, men are crazy. Men are stubborn. Men are arrogant. Men are obstinate, but not in this room. We're going to be humble and say yes. Amen? So, Father, I thank You for every person here. I thank You for the visionaries of every person in this room, even if they've not seen it. I thank You for the dreams that are in their heart. I thank You for what You've placed there. And I thank You. And we all say yes, knowing it's not up to us, but we'll obey Your steps. And when we obey Your steps, You bring it about. Just like David had to go after the giant, he's probably scared to death. He's probably terrified, but it didn't matter. He said, I'm going to follow God even if I die. And he didn't die. And it's one of the greatest hero stories for the last 4,000 years. And so, Father, we just thank You. I thank You for the hero stories here. Whether we see it here or next decade or we see it in the next generation, I thank You that in this room is creativity and seeds. And we say yes in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.